afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Elodie Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Butch Paul, and we're bringing to you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today is Thursday, February 1st, 2018. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Miss Melody. How you doing today?
I'm doing just fine. Just fine.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I am too. I just got another day older and couldn't do a thing about it.
Well, I don't get days older, you know, so you have to stop doing that.
Well, you tell me how, darling, I'll do it for sure.
I'll never give my secrets away.
You got the secret to eternal youth. Okay.
Oh,
I
yeah,
got you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, that's better than gold and silver. Y'all sell that.
Yeah. Well, actually, well, anyway, that's another program. But tomorrow's Groundhog Day, so we'll see if we have another Punxsutawney close to where I used to live, and it's a beautiful area. I actually have clients in Punxsutawney, and it's a beautiful area, and so I want to say hello there.
Down here we have French Creek Freddy. French Creek Freddy, honestly, we do. Honestly, French Creek Freddy. But anyway, go ahead. I knew you had to know that, though.
Yes, I did. I just wanted to see if you was going to share that with the listeners.
Go right ahead.
Hey, we had actually a really good day in gold today. We're looking at 1,351. There was pressure on it all day long, and absolutely no reason. We had the dollar got pounded today earlier. I haven't looked at it in the past hour, but it was pounded earlier, and stock markets were up triple digits, and we'll see where all that's at here in just a few minutes. So gold regained its losses. We had a low of 1,338, and we're at $1,351. You have silver. Yeah, we had a great day. Great day for gold. Nice turnaround. Silver was down 9 cents today at $17.32. Platinum was up $6 at 1,011, and palladium was up 10 at 1,043. And everybody's going to ask, well, why was silver down today? Now, take your pick. You know, just take your pick, because it is kind of shocking that it is down. And I think it'll be up tomorrow. The USDX today was down 0.56 at 88.57. So breaking down pretty good into that 89 level. Mnuchin came out today and said, well, I think you guys really should concentrate on that debt ceiling that's coming up around the corner that needs to be increased. So crude oil was up 1.44 at 66.17. And the stock markets today, okay, let's see. Let me get back to my old screen. The Dow was up 36 points at 26,186. The NASDAQ was down 25 at 7,385. And the S&P was down 2 points at 2,821. The 10-year yield, 2.77%, up almost 2%. And let's see. And again, I'm not a fan of Bitcoin. We're going to talk about Bitcoin a little later on in the program. I'm not a fan of Bitcoin. That was down 15% today. So how would you like to have been holding that share and had a loss of 15% in a day? That'd put a few gray hairs in your head. And again, the volatility on these cryptocurrencies, and it really is sad that we've had, and I've talked to many people who have had friends, neighbors, family, who've mortgaged their homes, who've gone into debt to buy these cryptocurrencies, and at levels that they knew, or that at least they were told, they couldn't be sustained. And here we are at down 15% in one day. I mean, it's you know, it's a sad day when that happens, because a lot of people get hurt, but they'll ride it. Hey, when Bitcoin went from 17,000 down to maybe a 15,000, everybody hangs in there thinking that, oh, well, we're going to listen to the smart people, and it'll go back up to 17,000. Next thing you know, it's at 13,000, and the smart people to talk them into staying, that, oh, it's going to reverse itself. You're just going to ride this, and this is a long-term investment. Now you're looking at $10,000, and now we're looking at $85,000, and it's those same people at $85,000 that'll hold on to it when it's back down to $2,000 and say they'll be able to brag that they've lost due to Bitcoin. And I don't know what it is, but we do have a tendency to talk about our losses more than we talk about our gains sometimes. So,
if they got in when it first started, they're all right, perhaps. But now, when you're getting in, once it went through the roof like this and back down, you're biting the dust right now. Go ahead.
Yeah, but it's human nature, though. Very few get in. I was interested when Bitcoin was about 2,000 and Ethereum was about 24, about $240 was when I was thinking about it, but I didn't get in, unfortunately, and that would have been considered a low for both of them. And unfortunately, when people begin mortgaging their homes and they get caught up in the optimism and they get caught up in the dramatic rise, it's never at the low levels.
Well, I know. Somebody told me to buy gold and silver. It don't make any sense. Time to buy is when it's low. Duh.
I hear you. And look at
that. Doesn't make any sense.
Why are premiums dropping on coins? Because there's no interest. You know, stock market's hitting 26,000. Everybody thinks it's going to go to 30 because they're listening to the smart people.
If it goes to 50, it's going to come back down. It's going to hurt big time. They're building on air. It can't stay there forever. It's impossible.
Nope. It's impossible.
Looking here at Bitcoin now, it's been accepted for real to buy in real estate in the U.S. and Japan. Both are accepting it to pay for real estate. And that, again, it's working. But when the bubble busts, what's going to say it worked? I mean, when the company that sold the building for 547 Bitcoins, which was worth $6 million at the time, and all these go to nothing, what do they have to show for it?
I get it.
I mean, I'm not the brightest bulb in the house, but I can see that.
I know, but a lot of people can't. And you know what? I'm thinking if it can be used, if there's anyone that is using it for any type of funding to purchase things, and particularly if it's got to have to do with taxes. You know, because that's the only way they would make it, because they want every penny that you make in order to, so they can continue on their drug of choice, which is debt. You know, David Stockton came out today, and he was talking about the $1.5 trillion infrastructure that everyone is now beginning to talk about. And he says, America's economy is not faltering, not from too little infrastructure spending, and that's what you hear, but from too much debt.
Yeah, sure.
$67 trillion of total public and private
debt. And you can't borrow your way out of debt. It doesn't work that way. And we're going to talk about Illinois in a minute that's borrowing against it and betting on in the market. We're going to discuss it in a minute. I mean, this is insanity. But they're grasping at straws now. You realize that. They got themselves over their head. They have nothing to hang on to, so they're grasping at straws, hoping that something will hang on and save them. That's all it boils down to. People are desperate. And I'm talking about the government are desperate. They know they're going under. The states are going under. And they're grasping at straws, trying to hang on the last little while.
And he writes, he goes on, and I'll just finish this up, and then we can go where, you know, what you want to talk about. But, he talks, it's all about the debt. And this is what we've been saying for years and years and years. It's a bubble and bubble and bubble. Greenspan is saying there's so many bubbles out there. I mean, it's just not real, but yet people are frozen in the headlights, and they're not doing anything. He says it appears that the Bond vigilantes are returning from 24 years of hibernation just in the nick of time to put the kibosh on the GOP's latest harebrained scheme to balloon the public debt. And he's talking about the $1.5 trillion of spending for the infrastructure. He says central banks are rapidly winding down the QE bond purchases. The smart money is about to make its own pivot. That is towards selling. That's what the smart money's doing. It's what we saw in Bitcoin and these cryptocurrencies. The smart money was in early, made the easy money. Then you get the stragglers, the followers who come in that mortgage their homes, borrow money to come in because they get caught up in all the smart money, all the smart analysts talk and speed. And so while they're in there buying it, pushing everything up to the next level, the smart money is selling. And they're going to leave you holding the bag. And he goes on, he talks about as recently as January 2017, the major central banks were draining securities from the bond pits as a $2.1 trillion annual rate, thereby injecting a tsunami of newly minted cash into the casino. And where did it find its way in the past year? Into the corporates, the junk bonds, the ETFs. You want to know why the markets are making all-time highs? And that's just like, but you people don't pay attention. They don't pay attention. So
as long as that piece of paper we call a dollar will buy a penny piece of candy, they're going to have faith it's going to last. That's all.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way it is. I mean, the dollar, we're going to cover some more than how much a dollar has dropped in the last 10 years. But no one's going to pay much attention because, after all, it doesn't concern us. You know, I mean, whether they still buy something, and that's what keep people going, because it's still worth something to buy something, so we're going to hang on to it. And every year it drops in value, but you're going to hang on to it, and they're not going to buy anything of any kind of substantial worth, like a piece of gold and silver, because if they do, that means that, you know, that they can't spend that dollar then right away. They got to spend on something else. They got to go to the ball game. After all, ball game is Sunday. You can get a bargain ticket for $3,500 now.
Let's go.
My goodness gracious, I'll meet you there.
Okay.
Gee, but anyway.
We're going to have the cheap seats. We're going to be outside looking at our cell phones.
I tell you the truth, I won't be watching it. I mean, I don't want, if you're in football, that's fine. It's insanity and all that. I don't pay attention to it. I don't care who wins or loses that game. I'm sorry if I offend people. I'm sorry about that. I am fighting for the salvation of the souls in this country and for the salvation of this nation. Football's fine. But I'm not going to get into that and spend $3,500 to watch it, to buy a ticket, to watch a bunch of guys run a piece of leather around the field.
I hear you. I understand.
Now, if it'd been one of those white caught where they do the lingerie football now, you know, with the women, yeah,
I figured that.
But anyway, what can you say?
But, yeah, so, I mean, there's always, we can show you why the stock markets are higher and everything. And I get a lot of heat because I'm optimistic. I want to be optimistic. I want to be helpful that perhaps things can be turned around and so forth and whatnot. But, you know, I try to report truth and reality. I get a lot of heat thinking that I'm against this administration. Well, I'm not. But the numbers just don't add up. The numbers don't match up. And I talked about this morning the tax cuts, the refunds. Hey, for the individual, these tax cuts expire in 8 years.
Yeah, they do.
Not the corporations. They're permanent. So guess what you're going to be paying in 8 years? Do you think your taxes are going to go down in 8 years? Just imagine where they're going to go after we have a $1.5 trillion infrastructure spending bill, which I don't think they can get done anyway because we don't have the money to do it. But the fact remains we're still $20-plus trillion in debt and climbing.
That's the problem. You hit the problem on the head. Which one of us can truly fathom even $1 trillion, much less the real debt's closer to $80 trillion. But how can we fathom even $21 trillion? $1 trillion to me is so much. My mind can't grasp what it is. So it doesn't bother us because it doesn't seem real to us.
Doesn't seem real.
So,
and everybody just thinks, well, you know, just defaults, no big deal. you know, let them renegotiate. Can you even imagine what will happen when they begin to renegotiate?
No.
The treasuries and bonds? Are you kidding me? So, folks. Pardon?
It probably cause a war.
Yeah. You're absolutely correct. So, folks, the number one and one is not equaling two. It's, again, I'm not against the administration, but the numbers don't match. How can you be hopeful and be optimistic when you see the numbers aren't matching? You can't. And I even saw, the Atlantic Fed today came out and said, oh, they're anticipating a 5% GDP this year. Say, what?
Mm-hmm.
You know? They must be using Common Core math.
Yeah. I don't know what to say. I don't know. It's insanity from the get-go. I mean, I know this is clear off topic as far as finances, but I just read an article, and I got my hair right now, that Reba McEntire is going to be the new KFC colonel. Now, I like Reba McEntire. Don't get me wrong. But it's so absurd. I mean, Reba McEntire is now dressed up like the colonel for KFC and advertising KFC chicken and barbecue. Now, that's all good and comical, but it's another. I mean, I want to say insanity is a good word. I mean, it's entertaining, I suppose. Maybe that's why they do it. But now we have a woman playing Colonel Sanders advertising the chicken. So why not? Everything else is working okay. Now, who knows? Maybe the colonel's a cross-dresser. I have no idea.
Well, yesterday we talked about Twinkies, so Kentucky Fried Chicken today, Twinkies yesterday. Hey.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, and those are mainstays in American diet. You know that.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But
on the upside, there are some things happening on the good side. Here in the state of West Virginia, two things are happening that I've liked so far. And I'm not a rich Republican. I am a Constitution Party member. But the last term, the Republicans took over the state house for the first time in 30-some years. They got the right to work law passed here. They did away with any type of gun permits, period. And now they have a bill before the house again that will make any type of federal gun control law illegal in this state. And even feds try to enforce them will be arrested. Now, that's a fact. It's a bill. Or a pass. I don't know. They just introduced a new bill for welfare leeches. If you're able to work, you're not disabled anyway. You're going to have to work at least 20 hours a week to get your food stamps. Now, isn't that terrible? Isn't that terrible? Well, I mean, that's so make the people go to work. I mean, it's so awful.
Well, what kind of jobs are there to supply them?
They'll be cutting brush, cleaning ditches, picking up cans, whatever you want to do along the road, cleaning up trash. But they have to work 20 hours a week.
So they have to work for government.
Well, not necessarily. They can find as long as they can work. They can work part time at McDonald's. It makes no difference. But they're going to have to work 20 hours a week.
But if they can't find a job,
they'll find something for them.
So then they'll be government workers.
Well, they'll be getting the food stamps after they work for them, instead of nothing.
Yeah. Hey, I hear the music. We're heading into the first break of the program today, so please stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom, and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csctalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And thank you for joining us today. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul for the second segment of the program, Financial Survival, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. Along, you can listen to these programs archived on a longer-term basis. Just go to the radio page. And we're continuing to have, I still have some of those one-ounce gold eagles along with some buffaloes at $40 over spot. It's an incredible buy. The coins are limited. But hey, if you want 100 of them, they're not that much more, maybe $5 more. So don't let your volume keep you from calling us. And these are great. You can buy one or as many as you can fit into your budget. So 800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188.
And along with the same good news, Melody, I'm moving to California, or the West Coast, it says. This is amazing. There's a burger joint out there called In-N-Out. 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 That pays their managers. They start off at $13 an hour for their workers. But you can work with to be a manager and earn up to $160,000 a year as a manager of a burger joint. With no college degree needed. Now, that beats McDonald's all to pieces pay-wise, but this is for real. The Vice President of Operations, Denny Warnick, said, told The Sun that quality service requires quality employees with quality pay. Now, that is big bucks for making hamburgers.
It really is. And, you know, I mean, everything is more expensive out there in California, but really is amazing. For a manager, they get $160,000, and yet the flipper only gets $13.
Yeah.
That's a little bit of a discrepancy, you know.
I don't have to say, but that's what it is. This is in the USA Today. I mean, this really is happening. And I'm seeing this, and I'm thinking, no wonder California is going under. No wonder that part of the state wants to see another part of the state. It's insanity. Nothing wrong. Well, I think, well, employers should be paid a decent living, and that's not the point. But $160,000 a year to manage a burger place. Either they're making lots and lots and lots of money and won't throw it away, or it's just insanity. Either way, you figure it out. I don't know.
Well, I know they do a tremendous amount of business, but that is a lot of burgers.
That is a lot of burger. And there's so many articles they like to cover, but this one, I think, was really caught my attention. I had to share it. I think it's very important. A guy named Patrick Cockburn wrote an article. And it says, it's time to call economic sanctions what they are, war crimes. Now, you know we have sanctions on North Korea and Iran and other places already. We see that. And sanctions, Melody, do not hurt the leaders of the nation. You know that.
I know that.
They're going to eat well. They're going to have a nice home no matter what happens. It hurts the people out there like you and I that are trying to make a living. Sanctions do not harm the governments of these people. It harms the people. Now, this goes on to say World War III preparations, ? Amidst drought, North Korean officials raid homes and farms to feed their army. North Korean officials are ransacking homes and raiding farms in order to feed their starving army. So the point I'm trying to make is, with the economic sanctions, could that affect feeding the army? Now they're raiding people's homes and raiding farms to feed the army. To heck with the people. We got to feed the army. Now, that is a sad state of affairs. And it could come here. We say, oh, well, that's too bad for them. No. We're no better than they are. We're probably worse in a lot of ways, morally anyway. They are raiding the homes and the farms to feed their army, Melody. And probably because a lot of it has to do with sanctions that we put on them. Now, I'm not pro-North Korea. I'm not. But I'm saying that you're harming the people, not the government.
You know, these sanctions. There's always been discussions that sanctions really don't work anyway. You slap on all these sanctions, and you're right. It really doesn't hurt. Even if they put them on individuals, it doesn't hurt those individuals. They're usually wealthy enough, and they're able to, they might have to have a little bump in the road or something like that. But the people hurt. Look at Venezuela.
Yes.
We're trying to, push that government out, Maduro out. And so we slap all kinds of sanctions instead of helping the people. They're starving, and their inflation rate is, 3,000 or something ridiculous,
yeah,
or more.
Right.
And so how are our sanctions helping them? And we've had oil prices are coming back up, so you would think that, they'd be in a little bit better position with higher oil prices, because it really was the drop of oil that, they could no longer subsidize the payments to the people, because it's a socialist country. Oil dropped to, $25 a barrel, but now when it's approaching $70, they should be a little bit better off, but yet they are not. So, because the sanctions, and they're hurting the people.
Well, socialism.
Not the intended for.
Socialism cannot last. And we're going to talk about that man with Illinois. Illinois is a socialist state. Well, we all are. But they're one of the worst. So is California. That's why part of the state wouldn't secede. It cannot last. It builds off the next generation, the next generation, next generation. And pretty soon it's so huge, the debt's so huge, that they can't sustain it. So it collapses. That's what happened to Venezuela. Socialism is unbiblical. It's totally unbiblical. It's communism, which is it. God hates communism, and that's just the way it is. It's the people themselves suffer. The people on top always keep what they've had and gain more. It's the little guys that suffer. That's the same thing in Venezuela. The leaders are starving to death. The people are. So. Maybe one day we'll figure it out. I don't know. I don't see it happening, but maybe, you never know.
Well, then again, maybe this is that just the way things work? unless the
it
people...
always tends that way. It always goes that direction. It always tends that way. America started off with truly a capitalistic nation, but it started tending to socialism long before you and I were born. The first Social Security check was given out about 1930 or 33. Was $25 and something. I can't remember the lady's name. God, some lady in Connecticut got the first Social Security check. That is socialism. It started small, but it got bigger and bigger. They confiscated gold in the 1930s. Thanks to Roosevelt, they lied to us, causing the World War II. And since then, every welfare program under Johnson's Great Society is growing and growing and growing. And I don't see Trump stopping a whole lot of it. Now, I'm not saying they're trying. Like the state of West Virginia is going to try and make them go to work a little bit. But it's like spitting on a forest fire. I don't think it's enough.
With Trey Gowdy stepping down, there's, 36 Republicans that are not... that are retiring and not going to campaign for their next term in 2018.
Yep. Yep.
And I said earlier today, I says, I'm not sure. We're supposed to be draining the swamp. I don't know if the swamp is draining the drainers.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know which is which.
you heard Greg, the guest said the other day, Greg, I forget his last name already.
Greg Hunter.
Yes. He said that that they were leaving because there's dirt on them. That could be. I don't know. Time will tell. And if And again, as I said on the program the other day, and as Greg was saying too, if there's something going to happen, they got to do it quickly. They can't drag it out for the next 3 or 4 years. So we'll see on that. That's all I know about that. We'll have to wait and see.
But it surprises me that Trey Gowdy was one that has dirt on him.
Me too. I mean, I don't know that's part of it, but, you know, I don't know.
And I figured he's got a skeleton in the closet because I don't think there was any. He never seemed to be, you know, one that was looking to, you know, pull out and go on to other things. So it's interesting that that he's leaving. And so again, you know, it's, are we going to just eliminate 36 of them and get, you know, the Democrats only need 24 to control the House?
I don't know, Melanie. So, it's insane. Yeah, only time will tell.
Yeah.
This next article, I want your opinion on, because you are the gold lady, and I want to read part. I would like to read to you. It's very short. Ask your opinion. New global gold standard in kilobar may soon be coming. This is RT News. The World Global Council is considering a global standard for 1 kilogram gold bars so they could be used as collateral in futures markets and potentially encourage demand. People close to the matter told Reuters the aim is to include companies from the world of gold refining, banks and brokers that trade their precious metal in the futures and physical markets, and the London Bullion Market Association. The plan is to create a standard for kilobars that can be adopted around the world, delivered anywhere, possibly using blockchain to identify the bars, their origins. A physical gold trading source said, rigid standards and blockchain would bring in people who are worried about they could be getting conflict metal. What are they saying here? Kilogram bars are right small. So what's your opinion? What's your intake on that? What do I put on that?
Well, you know, when you start introducing, you know, these types of products and so forth with, you know, you know what? Forget about it. Just forget about it. Because to me, I don't see a purpose behind it. I don't see a reason behind it. And usually when you sell something smaller, you end up paying way more for it. I mean, we sell a lot of 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagles, and I always tell everybody, yeah, you pay a little bit more for your gold, but it's okay to have something, you know, a little bit small. You wouldn't want your whole portfolio in it. I think kilobars would be something as a, you know, as a hobby, as a, if you're a hobbyist, as a novelty. As a novelty, you know, I don't think kilobars and grams are acceptable by governments. I mean, they're not minted by governments. When coins are minted by governments, there's a degree of a guarantee. So who knows what you get in these kilobars? Who knows who's going to be making them? Who knows who's going to be supplying what to who and when and where? So,
well, they
say
rigid standards. I don't know.
But by who?
That's a point. And, you know, say they want banks and brokers and they trade the precious metal in futures and physical markets. They say it'll be easier to swap. I don't know. This is over my pay grade. That's why I ask you.
I don't know. I mean, why would the futures use it in order easier to swap? Because, you know, you're buying contracts. You know, and when you buy contracts, if you buy options or anything like that, the reason you do it is because you can handle, you know, more product at, you know, less of amount. So why would you want something smaller? I mean, I know they did cut, I think it was silver options, they cut to 2,500 from 5,000 at one point in time. You know, 10 years ago or something like that. But I don't know.
Well, that's why I asked you.
This is the same kind of a story. When was it, last year, the year before? Oh, everybody ran with the Muslims are now able to own gold. Does anybody remember that story? Oh, Muslims are now written in their laws that they can buy gold, and now there's over, you know, how many millions of Muslims that will now be able to buy gold, and it's going to make the price skyrocket. Okay. I probably was the only one out there that said, well...
We'll see.
You know? Okay. If it's on the internet, it's not true. You know, it doesn't mean that everything on the internet is true. So, you stick with the fundamentals. When it comes to gold and silver, you stick with the fundamentals. If you want something that's a worldly coin, you buy a Swiss franc or a British sovereign. You can even get a Krugerrand. Those are highly recognizable, government minted. No one will turn them down. Put a Swiss franc in one hand and a kilobar in the other hand, and what do you think most people are going to choose? They're going to choose the Swiss franc. So kilobars, again, a novelty. I can't.
You know that you said this the other day, and it's really true. You've not been at this for so long that we don't want to be tainted. There's always skeptical. But we've seen so much and heard so much that this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to be good, this what, and it hasn't come to fruition. And we learn to say, okay, we'll wait and see. But that's all we can do. I don't want to doubt what's being said, what's coming down. I really don't. I'm not back with Greg Hunter. I'm not doubting what he said. It's true as far as he knows it. But I'll believe it when I see the results of it.
Exactly, exactly. But when you're looking to something like gold and silver, I mean, you stay with the fundamentals. And that's the problem. That's why people get so burned all the time. They don't stick with the fundamentals. They get caught up with bitches. They get caught up with these so-called, and I don't know why I've been saying this a lot lately, but these smart people, you know, and you hear all kinds of stories. And sometimes I see stories recycled from a year ago. And everybody thinks, oh, look at this story, like it's brand new. And it's like, well, no, it was about a year ago that, you know, it was important, and they're just recycling it, putting today's date on it, because a lot of these people, their job is just to write. They're not there to check things out. They're not there to report things. They're just to write.
To fill space.
To fill space, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yep. And so we do have a caller. I think we have time to take a caller. We have R.D. from Idaho.
Yes,
is that correct?
Good afternoon, Melody and everybody.
Good afternoon.
Hear me okay?
Hello.
Yes.
Hello. Do you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. Quick question and then a comment. This point you were just making about the kilogram bars of gold. Who made the statement about wanting to do this?
Where'd the article come from? I'm not going to tell you.
It was RT, Russian Times.
Yeah, Russian Times. Yeah, RT News covered that, yes.
Okay, but were they referring to like a European Union type of...
Well, no, they were referring to actually worldwide. The World Gold Council was talking about
World
it.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
To me, what this sounds like is nothing more than just a different size reserve bank to reserve bank trading unit. Nothing different than the big bars they use in the current Fed Reserve. And, you know, I don't know what the weight of those bars is. I think they're heavier, but this is not a coin, I don't think.
No, it's not a coin.
This is some kind of a coin or even
or even
something along the line of a 1 ounce gold piece.
But no, a kilogram is a tiny little piece of bar. I've got some of them. They're tiny little bars, tiny little things.
Kilograms.
Kilo
is 2.2 pounds.
No, this
kilo bar. We're heading into a break. So
kilo bar. Excuse me.
Yeah. All right. Hang on, folks. We're heading into a break, and we'll be returning in just a few short minutes.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And once again, we're returning to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul. And I think we're finished with this topic. We were talking about the kilo bars going into the...
Kilograms.
They're not going into any... I can't imagine why they would go into grams. I mean, they're... It doesn't make sense, but if they want to create some sort of a kilogram to sell, like those other little kilograms that people were selling online and so forth, and cost you an arm and a leg for it. I mean, I don't understand what the attraction would be when gold would have to go up, you know, $600 or $700 to break even on them. So I don't know why people would do that. So you stick with the basics. And besides, here in the States, can you imagine if all of a sudden people had to deal with something with a kilo, gram, even a gram? People don't know what it is. They don't know how much gold is in there. You know, it's not the way we calculate things. And so, again, you want to stay with basics. Stay with the fundamentals when you're purchasing gold and silver. And, you know, anything else, most likely you're going to get taken.
Well, what you're saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. But what you have to fix is getting out of those fiat dollars.
Absolutely. We'll get that in a minute, too, because it's coming down the road. A dollar eventually is going to collapse nothing. And I do want to cover this because, you know, we started on the road to socialized medicine big time under Obama. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Trump did kind of put a stop on that. I read an article here out of a British newspaper that British people are dying in the hallways of the hospitals waiting to get a room. And actually, some of them are staying in the hallways because they had no beds for them. Now, they're even building makeshift wards with constructed rooms on the side, what's called side rooms. And the socialist network in Britain, healthcare is free. What do you consider free? What's free? Somebody's got to pay for it. So then we need to stop this idea that we can all just we can give a poor person free health care. Melody, it's not free. I'm paying for it. You're paying for it. You follow what I'm saying?
Absolutely, I am.
I mean, there's no way around this. There's nothing free here, people. I realize we'll vote for someone who promises something for nothing. Because that means we're going to be one of the ones that get it for nothing. We're going to let the good people that's still out there busting their buns try to make a living pay for it. Because we've got so many lazy bums who don't want to work. The ones who do work are really the suckers anymore. I understand what you're saying. I do. I hear this all the time. But the National Healthcare Service in Britain is literally letting people die in the hallways and putting them in the hallways for part of the room because they don't have room inside the hospital itself. Now, this is really a sad statement. And this is at the future of America if we don't stop it. But there's nothing free, Melody, and I get angry over this because I'm tired of people sucking off me and you and expecting to live as good or better than we do and crying and whining that they don't. Rioted in the streets if they don't get their way. I'm sick of that. They've been sucking on sugar tit for so long that they don't want to give it up.
Yeah, but you know what? Not in defense, but you know what? They've been conditioned.
Right, that's true. I agree.
These programs have been created not to encourage people to get better and to go out and recover. They penalize you.
Sure.
These programs penalize people from doing the things that most probably want to do. and our jobs have lost. You know, and I was looking at a chart of manufacturing jobs that have left this country. And, you know, NAFTA went into effect, I think, in, what, 94. But it really shows a massive loss of manufacturing jobs was really after the year 2000. But yet we and I'm sure a lot of it has to be blamed on that. But I mean, if you saw the drop of manufacturing jobs, the chart, I mean, it's like it really happened right before the Great Recession, and then after the Great Recession, they just continued through because these they could find you know, lower taxes and everything else overseas and so forth. So here we are now trying to claw our way back. So what is, you know, that's so, you know, it's you know, and I was too taught in this world that there isn't anything free. Somebody has to pay for it.
Exactly. I agree. And then, and that's, you know, what it comes down to.
Yeah. And there are some people who I know who manipulate the system. I know somebody that was in state college. I mean, they had car repairs. They had a housekeeper.
Wow.
You know, they were able to have a housekeeper. And so... You know, but
well,
yeah,
again,
I go back to the start of the problem, and it was the programs that were created.
Of course, start back in the 30s, they had in the Roosevelt. But just because you're conditioned that way doesn't mean that we can continue that way if we want to turn this thing around. And people got to get out of it and grow up. You know, we can't continue down that road without start teaching people, as you're trying to do here in the state perhaps, put them to work at least 20 hours a week, get food stamps. That's a good way to start turning around. It may take years to get turned around where they're going back to work actually and take care of themselves. But it's a start in the right direction. You keep letting it slide, and the further down the road it goes, the harder it is to turn around. It's like a railroad train going down a hill with no brakes. The further, the faster it's going to be harder to stop it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. But I mean, now we're at a point in time where, you know, it's not even a matter of making choices or decisions and turning it around. Every little bit helps. But the reason that these decisions are because the states don't have the money to pay for it anymore.
That's it. It has to come that way. It will go under. It is going under.
And the reason the states don't have the money to pay for it. It's because the people don't have the taxes to pay for it. They've stripped the people.
They can't do anymore.
They can't do anymore.
You can only suck the butt off something for so long before you kill it. You know that.
So it's the same. And it's the same. And when we look at the bigger picture, you know, again, I go back to the report. There's record taxes being collected.
Oh, yes.
And there's still deficits. There's over $1 trillion the last quarter. And it still is not enough. Then we get tax cuts. Who do you think is going to be paid? Oh, well, that we're going to increase the tax base, and we're now going to become energy independent. I don't hear anybody saying cut back your energy independence.
No.
It's we're going to drill more. We're putting in oil rigs all along the East Coast, West Coast. What does that do to the waters? Even in Alaska. In their wildlife.
The wildlife, yes. Yeah, I'm not against exploration and drilling. I'm not, within reason. I think I'm all for it. I mean, that's what it's put here for. But I just don't see anything stopping or turning around the people's desire to consume, and pay later. I mean, I'm looking here at another article by a guy named Mike Shedlock. He says savings is at a 12-year low. Now, Melanie, if the economy is getting better, shouldn't people be saving more maybe and putting more back? I'm just curious. Now, maybe I'm wrong on this, but saving is 12-year low, and people can't make it now that are retiring because they couldn't save money now. It's getting lower every year. How are they going to make it 10 years from now?
I mean, there's reports all the time. People can't pay for a $1,000 emergency.
That's exactly right.
We've had a decline in savings for over 50 years.
Yes.
And, I mean, there's even been, you know, at the great, since 2008, after the recession around 2010 or so forth, the savings rate hadn't been that low since the Depression. So well, it's come back a little, but not much.
You watch this happening, and you see it happening, and we feel it, too. I feel it. I know you feel it. I don't get a pay raise if it keeps with inflation. I don't have that kind of money coming in here. I feel the pinch. I feel the pinch in the ministry. I feel the pinch personally. I feel the pinch. And,
so
and I don't
you,
see. I like to see. I like to see the corporation get a tax cut and give us all $10,000, but it's not going to happen.
So when you have a savings rates at 12-year lows, how can they convince us that we're on track for a 5% GDP?
I don't know. That this is insane. And another article here that come from. RussiaInsider.com, a guy named William Engel wrote it. Russia and China are dead serious about ditching the dollar. And this goes, I just said one sentence here that I'll share. The Russian government has recently announced it will issue nearly $1 billion equivalent in state bonds, but denominated not in U.S. dollars, as is mostly the case. Rather, it will be the first sale of Russian bonds in Chinese yuan.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. If mm-hmm. the yuan takes over as a world currency, the dollar will be absolutely useless. Nobody's going to want it. They don't want it now. China's our biggest trading partner. They don't want it. Russia don't want it. So what's going to be worth?
Well, there's still a lot of trades that are still done in the dollar, but these are all signs.
Yes.
These are the signs that are telling folks that this is a trend. It's just not a blip and you know, because of the Russian collusion and, you know, they're doing this and so forth and they're getting... No, this is a trend. This is the way the world economies are going. This is the way they're all searching out for their little piece of pies. They're all cutting their shares. And it will. It's no longer the U.S. dollar as king. They're finding ways with the new globalization and the abilities to do other transactions in other currencies that benefit them and their countries. They're going to do it.
Well,
they're not beholden. The Saudis aren't beholden to the U.S. anymore. I don't think to the degree that they were.
No, they're not. None of the Middle East did. But whenever their biggest trading partner starts going out of it, that's not a good sign.
No.
But, you know, I want to share this. We're in our time, and it's going by so fast. The dollar loses value every day. In the last 10 years, from 2007, I want to give you some price comparisons, Melody, on things that we all buy. It's called food. 2007 prices compared to 2017. I want to tell you how much it increased. Now, I don't eat bacon because bacon's not good for me, but bacon went up 58.2% in 10 years. Let that sink in a minute. Pasta, 45.5%. Dried beans, I mean, I was born and raised on pinto beans and cornbread, went up 44.7%. Ground beef, 44.6%. All-purpose flour, 44.4%. It was right on down through there. Creamy peanut butter, 43%. Potatoes, 38.5%. It goes on and on. Now, I got to ask you a question, Melody. Over a period of the last 10 years, have you got a 58% pay increase?
Well, what I want to know is when you have Janet Yellen crying every meeting, we can't get inflation to the target of 2%.
Yeah.
That's what I keep saying.
Duh.
Okay.
But I mean,
from
almost 60% increase in price of bacon. Again, I don't eat bacon. That's not the point. That's how much it went up. And pasta. I mean, everybody loves pasta. Almost 46% in 10 years. The dollar has lost that much value, Melody, and yet people still claim it's okay. Well, what was gold going for 10 years ago? You know, off the top of your head, or silver?
Oh, well, that was right after we were heading into the recession of 2008. So it was moving.
Right.
It was below. It was probably around 800 about 10 years ago, about 800.
Okay, 800, and it's going on 1,400 now, right?
Moving 15, on its 15. Way to 1,400.
Hmm? Almost doubled in 10 years, but the dollar dropped 30 to 50% in 10 years. Where is the best
power.
To put your money? Where's the best to put your hope for the future? In a piece of paper? My goodness, people, we're not that stupid, are we?
I tell people all the time, every day you're losing against inflation.
Yes,
it's
that's
a
true.
Silent. It's robbery. It's a silent robbery. People don't realize it, and it's just not because things are great and prices are going up and it's supply and demand. No, folks. Your dollar is getting weaker and weaker and weaker.
And we're going to run out of time so quickly here. I thought we'd just talk about quickly. One more quick thing. 2018, Nine West, that's a huge corporation that was planning bankruptcy filings. There's planning for, let's see here, 100, let me get this down, I'm going to make sure we get this right. I won't lie to you about this. We're 3 weeks into the year, and the first of what are expected to be dozens of retail bankruptcies has arrived, Nine West. But it's hardly the first piece of bad news for the embattled retail sector. Walmart stores are closing 60 of its popular Sam's Club locations. Macy's is closing 100. Sears is closing, it's trying to renegotiate $1 billion of debt. So we're saying it's looking brighter. Okay, this great. But we got the biggest retailer in the country, Walmart, cutting back on the Sam's Club locations. And, you know, it's just going on and on and on. And Sears used to be, my goodness, Sears was everything, everywhere. Everybody knew what Sears was. You remember Sears and Roebuck catalogs and Montgomery mm-hmm. Ward catalogs? They're going
yes,
to the
I
wayside.
Do. Craftsman Tools.
Yes.
They're way gone.
So these are the things that are happening right now as we speak. 2 weeks, and that's been 2 weeks ago, Nine West has already declared bankruptcy in this year, and now we're looking for more of them doing. This is serious stuff, people.
And what else is serious is we're out of time.
Yes, I know. I wouldn't finish it either.
Well, you'll just have to finish up on Tuesday. So hold those thoughts. And folks, we'll be back tomorrow. I'll be here for the 20-minute first segment of the program. Then we have James Corbett joining us. So stay. Make sure you tune in tomorrow. Until then, be safe. Good night. And God bless. Thank you. If I got me a wealthy man.